Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word. That's a good place to be. Therefore, we gain wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and success. And we thank our Father for that. We're in the 10th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs, a book of comparisons, giving you the ability to make your own mind up which path, which way you're going to take. It's up to you. And giving you in detail from our Father's Word what you're going to find on the trail. If you walk with God, it's going to be pretty good. You walk away by yourself, and it could be very bad. So this is comparison, showing you the good and the bad. Chapter 10, verse 6, word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. And verse 6 reads, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. In other words, God observes, God knows, and He brings blessings down to the person that is just. That means He justifies what He does, and He does it according to God's Word. He does that is right. That's what just is. And always justify what you do. And violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Why? Because that's pretty well what comes out of that mouth. And they plan it night and day, and God certainly isn't going to bless it, whatever it is. Verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed. In other words, they have a good reputation, and what they've accomplished will be remembered. But the name of the wicked shall rot, meaning it's not going to be remembered. Nobody wants to remember them. They'd rather forget about them. And really, in the ultimate, why are there no tears in heaven when many of the loved ones will go to hell and be in the lake of fire? The reason being, they won't be remembered. They will be blotted out. And so it is. Verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments. Let's say they'll receive instructions. But a prating fool shall fall. What? Fall on his face. Always. Ratchet jaws are a dime a dozen. They know everything. You can't tell them anything. And you are really quite better off if you never ask them for any instruction. They'll give you something, but it won't probably be aligned with God's Word. Verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known, shall be exposed. Okay? God does not like perversion. That's one of the things that He's really against. The upright walketh surely. In other words, it's going to happen. They're going to be blessed. Always will be blessed. So there you have the comparison. Walk uprightly. Don't, whatever you do, pervert your ways. Perversion brings death. Okay. Verse 10. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Now, I want you to note that you don't have a comparison here, but when you pull in the ancient manuscripts, you find that that's not what this says. I'm going to, because the comparison is lacking, there's something wrong. Okay. They're both bad, in other words. But I'm going to read it to you as it translates from the most ancient manuscripts. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a person who rebukes a prating fool shall bring peace. That being the positive. Now, many people take this winking as the fact that you can't tease someone. You can't, that there's no humor, and that's not what it means at all. Okay, when you mock someone to the point that it hurts them spiritually, physically, mentally, I'll say, or even if it hurts them by property, that's not funny. That's not humor. it isn't, it's real good to tease someone a little bit to, because you love them.
Okay.
And that's fine. But if, when it does harm, when it hurts someone's feelings, that's not teasing.
Okay.
You went over the line. So you want, and it can be very negative as well. So always beware don't rob yourself of a sense of humor, but at the same time, don't mock people. Don't belittle people because of handicaps or some other reason, all right? Verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Let's just say eternal life. It brings not only eternal life to him, but to others, he or she, but to others around them.
Okay.
But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked, and is filled with curses.
Okay.
Because God observes. You know, it is, someone who believes God doesn't exist robs themselves all the way around. And if that's what you choose, that's your life, hey, have a good trip. But it's so much wiser to take the high road and have our Father love you. A mouth filled with curses is not a very pleasant thing to be around. That is to say that it turns God's blessings away from people. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. It's hatred stirreth up strife. It's over insults.
Okay,
if you hate someone, usually this doesn't have anything to do with righteous indignation of correction. For correcting someone, as verse 10 from the ancient manuscripts, of correcting the prating fool brings peace. Well, maybe it helps them. Now, at the same time, you want to remember, if you correct an unwise person, you're going to get a block from it. Okay, they're going to rear up in some cases. That's okay. You planted the seed. If it didn't grow, that's their decision. Have a good trip. You know, enjoy your ride to hell. You can't force truth upon anyone. That's why this is a book of decision. Giving a set of opposites. You choose the one you want. Naturally, God gives you advice of what hatred causes. You got hatred, it'll mess up your life, okay? It'll fester. Verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. And he's a good counselor. He's good to be around. He's got wisdom. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. In other words, he brings stuff down on his own heart, his own head, and seems to enjoy it. And many might say, well, you don't understand, brother. It's just that people advise me wrong. No, you're the one that makes the decision. And if you follow God's way, he says, don't take advice from a fool, or you're a bigger fool than they are.
Okay?
You do not take advice from fools, but you take advice from a wise man or a woman, a wise person. That gives good counsel, and good counsel always comes from God's Word, because all wisdom comes from our Father. All good counsel comes from our Father. Or hey, you can choose the rod if you like it on your back. Verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Always bumping at the door of destruction. By laying up knowledge, when you study God's Word, you tuck these things away in your mind. You know, if you could create a computer that could store what a human mind can, if you'll exercise it and condition it, there's no one can make a chip or a computer disk that can store as much information as the human mind can. And in the flesh body, we only use about a tenth of it, so according to some. So how fantastic it is that you can store up a lot of wisdom if you'll just do it. in your mind, that you always have it there to draw on, and you will not see that destruction. Verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty for want of necessities. Now, and many people say, I always thought it was a sin to be rich. Well, you misheard. If you are rich with ill-gotten gains, that's to say you rip people off, you got that right. It's a sin to be rich in that way. You don't have to worry about it. God will unload their donkey pretty quick. Okay. Their camel, I could say, because they're going to go through the eye if they make it. The eye gate, that is to say. But if you're rich with God's blessings, you're rich indeed, and it does become your strong city because it's the knowledge of God that you have stored. And it's God's blessings. And they are gained justly, righteously, and it's yours. With no strings attached, and no one can take it away from you. Why? Because you have wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, even if God gave you riches, you'd lose them. So that's why wisdom becomes so very, very important. Verse 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. That's to say the earnings of the righteous tendeth to life. To not just life, but eternal life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. Right? Because he helps Satan. The wicked cannot help but play right into Satan's hands. Okay. And the old apostate, has a great part in it, because they'll say, it looks so religious, I thought I was doing really quite well. All those, do you understand, all those that follow Mystery Babylon in the end times do it for religious reasons? They think she's the way. They think that she's worshiping the true Christ when it's the fake. I mean, all in the name of religion. That's why Christianity is not a religion, but a reality. It's everyday life. And you want to always remember that. Don't help Satan out. Gain wisdom from God's word. Choose the right path. Verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instructions. In other words, the way of eternal life. When you keep instructions, you're going to gain eternal life. What's the opposite of that? Well, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. In other words, he goes astray. And when you go astray, if there's not some corrections made, you're going to hell. Okay, you're not going to make it. So the fact that he's in the way of life that keepeth instruction and tucks it away. Okay. That's counsel from Almighty God. It'll keep you safe. It'll warn you. Wisdom and instruction warns you of what's down the road. And do you know something? You hear me mention this quite often, but it's a fact. Man only fears the unknown. Because what? It's just the law of the nature of survival will cause you to figure a way around it, through it, over it, or against it. Okay. It's just the way it is. And how do you get rid of the unknown? Well, you get rid of the unknown by gaining wisdom from God to know exactly how it's going down. And then make your plans. And you do quite well, okay? The way of life, eternal life, keeps instructions from Almighty God. Verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth the slander is a fool. This one, even the good is a little bad if you don't take the advice. Vent. You know the difference between hatred and righteous indignation. And you learn those two by venting. Do not let something build. If you have aught against someone, don't let it just lay there. A neighbor or someone else, don't just let it lay there and fester. Take care of it. If you can't take care of it in any other way, forgive them. You may cut off the space between you, but at the same time, for your own benefit, don't let hate build up in you. Practice forgiveness, the greatest gift of Christianity. And that may sound very difficult for some to accomplish, but you're helping yourself when you do. And then let righteous indignation take over by breaking or putting that particular person away from you. But don't hate somebody and lie about it, okay? Fix it. Verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, we can say it lacks no sin. I'll say that again. In the multitude of words, there lacks no sin. Ratchet jaws. Ratchety, ratchety, ratchety. A multitude of words that mean nothing. It'll lead to sin. Mainly, just what I told you earlier, Mystery Babylon. A lot of people listen to that ratchet jaw and end up in a religion that is contrary to God's word. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Instead of ratchet jawing about nothing, if you don't have something to say, keep your mouth closed. Okay, that's the way the wise do. Never give advice that you don't know what you're talking about. If someone asks you for advice and you don't know, do the right thing and tell them you don't know. There is no sin in not knowing something, and then help them find the real truth. Help them find the answer. But many people, they know that I open myself to questions after I teach in a large congregation. And I'm not saying this to put down some ministers, but many of them say, well, how can you do that? Why do you open yourself up to an entire congregation and allow them to ask questions? Well, because I don't mind saying I don't know something. Now, to me, there's no sin in that. You know, nobody knows everything. So you don't have to be ashamed to say I don't know. Let's find out. We'll both learn something. So a wise person keeps their mouth closed rather than giving advice you're not sure of. Okay. Because it becomes your responsibility then. You let them down Primrose Lane, possibly. Verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. It's valuable. Okay? It's precious. It's good advice. You can go to the bank with it, in other words. Meaning you can count on it, a figure of speech. The heart of the wicked is little worth. It has little worth. And the heart is the mind. Their mind is just, it's not worth much. Okay. Has little worth, if any at all. Okay. So, again, the tongue of the just, when he knows something and speaks it, it's choice. It's like silver. It's valuable. Meaning, never, if God gives you a truth, don't hide it under a bushel. If someone asks you a question, help them. Okay. Share it. God gave it to you. You give it to the family. That's of humanity. That's why truth is so valuable. It's something to share. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many by planting seeds, but fools die for want of wisdom. For want of wisdom in their heart, their mind. And this is why that wisdom feeds many, meaning you share. You don't just think about yourself. You don't selfishly just take a truth and hang on to mine. God gave it to me. It's all mine. No, it isn't. It's God's. It's God's truth. And you should feed people with it. You should help people with it. That's the way God operates. Verse 22. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It's our greatest possession. It absolutely is our greatest possession, is the blessings of the Lord. Verse 23, it is as sport to a fool, though, to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. He's distinguished, a distinguishing quality of being able to help people and take that wisdom. It is as sport to a fool. Don't saddle this up with humor. God has a sense of humor, and so do His children. And good humor never brings mischief. When mischief begins to enter in, as I forestated, then it's not humor anymore. It's hurtful. If you tease somebody to the point that you really hurt their feelings, it's not humor. That is using your nonsense as a mischievous thing against an individual, whether it be his person or whether it be property. Okay. Don't use your sport in that way. Okay. And again, I hasten to add, this has nothing to do with good humor that does no harm, but a smile, a laugh, it's healthy. It's good medicine. And that's why you should always have humor when it's proper and in its right place. Verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Granted what? He'll be granted eternal life. But the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, means he gets what he deserves. The righteous will desire, and it shall be granted, what? Eternal life. The wicked, his desire is to rip somebody off. And guess what? He's going to get it all right. He's the one that's going to get ripped off. That's God's promise. And in life, that very same thing happens over and over, and they never learn. They never learn. Usually they'll say, well, how long are you in for this time? 25. As the whirlwind passeth, that's to say the storm, so is the wicked no more. Oh, there's a time coming when God's wrath comes up. But the righteous is an everlasting fountain. That's God's promise. The wicked, when that final storm, which is God's wrath, at the end times, when it comes, there won't be any wicked among us. And praise God, that's good. But let that be a lesson to those that might think the path of the wicked is a little interesting. It isn't. It will damn you. It will put you where you definitely do not wish to be. So you want to always think right, act right, and do right, and have and gain eternal life. Because God has, this is not the only place that God says the wicked won't be among us. He tells us where the wicked are going to go. And whose fault is it? Their own. They made the choice, so have a good trip. You know, this is why in teaching, you never want to try to force someone to see a truth. Everyone has the right to choose their own path. If they choose to go to hell and be annihilated, so be it. Let them go. But plant the seed of truth and at least give them the choice. That's what Proverbs is about. It's giving you the choice to do right rather than to do evil. To be blessed or to be cursed. But the decision is always, in other words, what it amounts to, you might say, well, God is the judge. Yeah, but really, you have put yourself in a position where you yourself judged yourself beforehand. You judged yourself right into the pit when you do wickedly. Your fault. No one else's, and certainly don't ever try to blame it on God. Verse 26, As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. That means you send a lazy person out to do something, and it's like getting smoke in your eyes, or it's like vinegar in the teeth. Don't ever, ever have a sluggard on your payroll. Okay. Because it'll do is cause trouble. Now, I want to say something. This has nothing to do with handicap or even somebody that's slow. You can always find a spot in your organization that there'll be a job there that person, if they strive, they're not a sluggard, they're just slow, you'll find a place there that they can be used. And they'll work out just fine. Okay. But don't ever have a sluggard. Okay, because God just simply tells you coming out the gate. It's like smoke in your eyes, and I don't know if you've ever had smoke in your eyes. It's not fun. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. That's, if you love the Lord, it prolongs your days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And what this has to do is not necessarily longevity, but better years. You're going to have more good days than you are bad. Okay. If you love the Lord, you're going to have longer stretches of really good times instead of bad times. Everybody, in these flesh bodies where Satan is here, his spirit here on earth, you're going to have some bad days because he's after God's elect, but we have power over him. And what God is promising you is you'll have more good days than you do bad when you do it God's way. Okay. Verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Okay, it's bliss. Okay. Blessings. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Whatever they expect, it's not going to happen. Okay. The wicked can never... Well, and you know something? The wicked might say, well, you don't realize what I've gotten away with in life. Uh-oh, you haven't had the big judgment yet, friend. You've got to stand before God. It's in the book. You may have outsmarted somebody here on earth, but you didn't outsmart our Father. It's in the book. And you know something? If you don't take care of it, and wisdom will tell you how to take care of it. I'm not going to right now. But if you really care, you'll take the time to gain wisdom and know how to take care of what's written in the book. About what you did that's a big dark secret that would send you to hell if you didn't fix it. Because your main trial is with the Father and those whom you offended. Stand by. Fix it and be relieved, okay? Blessed. 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. It strengthens you. God is our strength. But destruction... You might say God is destruction, if you would, shall be to the workers of iniquity. He'll destroy it. He'll see to it. Verse 30, the righteous shall never be removed. Why? They have eternal life. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. That lets you know heaven is right here on earth. We're here forever, but they are removed. The wicked are removed, blotted out. They're in the abyss, in that lake of fire, and God is that consuming fire that blots them out, and they will never be remembered again. There's a lot of good information in this chapter, if you know how to glean it, about the eternity. Okay. In regards to memory, and as well as their habitation. They're not going to inhabit. Why? Because they're not going to exist any longer. Verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. I mean, it buds all over them. Okay. But the froward tongue shall be cut out. It's going to be cut out forever. Okay, won't be with us. No longer would you have to worry about it. Verse 32, to finish the chapter. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. And no, it's a pleasure. Okay. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. That's to say perversiveness. And that is perverse, God will not allow. He hates it. He hates the abomination. Do you remember back in chapter 6? And I believe it was verse 6, if my memory doesn't fail me. I'm sorry, 16, not 6. Add 10. Chapter 6, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So you need to know what it is that he considers to be an abomination. And it kind of falls under the heading of ratchet jaw that accomplishes all of the six. We kind of went through the six, if you want to know it, and we will in the next lecture especially. The things that God truly, he hates. And a wise person would wish to not do what? Wish to not do any of those things that God hates. Because when you know you're doing something that God hates, it's going right into the book of life. Right by your name. And guess who's going to answer for it? Not somebody else. You are the one that's going to answer for it. And you will answer for it to God himself. And don't think you've got a secret for him. He already knows. My, it's in the book. That's wisdom. Keep your name clean. Your name, especially here on earth, is important. It's one of the most valuable things you can have. But your name there is the difference between eternal life and being blotted out. So you want to take real good care of your name, your reputation, your knowledge, your wisdom, and your love for God. It's in the book. See to it. Okay, don't miss the next lecture. It has to do with neighbors. I'm talking about them. Okay, listen a moment, won't you please?
The epistles of John, three letters written by the apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, "My little children," or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from, Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. The Spirit moves and you've got a question, you share it with us. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular religion, denomination, reverend, or organization. Let's don't judge people. God's Word is the judge. He goes to great lengths to see that everyone has the truth or a warning. And even the warning is a truth, meaning if you participate in it, it's a warning, all right? You're going to get it. Okay? And that's a truth also. So it's important that we gain that truth. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request? You don't need that number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He really does. And he loves you. He may not love what you do all the time, but he does love you. So what does he want from you? This is important. He wants your love returned. This, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love. Your grace is what is written. Your unmerited favor. Love him. He's your Father, the creator of your very being. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and questions. We're going to go with Ray from Connecticut. do guardian angels have more than one soul to look out for? Well, you find it written in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. And all that is written, it's to the saints, which means simply the set-aside ones. That's to say those that act justly before God, the elect, so to speak, and that'll say it better. It declares there that your angel has the attention of God. So only singular in that respect, as it's written. Read it for yourself, Matthew 18:10. Lou from Colorado. I'm reaching the end of my life now, and I'm wondering about something. Is it wrong to be cremated after death as far as the Word is concerned? I know that when Christ comes back, the dead in Christ will rise first, and the sea will give up the dead. I'm trying to save my wife the choice. If I go, just we have been married 42 years, and the Lord has been very good to us. That's wonderful that you're, and it's always good to plan ahead and see that your wife doesn't have to decide this. You are confusing two things, though. The sea doesn't give up the dead until the end of the millennium. And those that have the dead in Christ, meaning those that love Christ and have passed on, they go first because they're already with Him. They're already there. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. And here's what you're looking for, Lou, is Ecclesiastes. This is in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Instantly, when you pass, when you go on, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning yourself, goes instantly to the Father. That's why they go first. You go first. You're there. You're with Him. Okay? And this body goes back to dust. So it doesn't matter whether it's cremated or not. It's a lot less expensive. Cremation is, and I know many people on fixed incomes, it's very important. So as far as God is concerned, you can help your wife by making that decision now, if that is your choice. If that is your choice, there's nothing wrong with cremation, and God has sure been good to you. All right, that's for sure. Thank Him for that. I know you have and do. Elizabeth from Alabama. My husband and I study with you. We've never been taught in our... My husband and I study with you and have learned so much that is never taught in our pulpits. One question that has me puzzled. When the sons of God had children by the daughters of men, they were called Nephilim. They were called Geber, okay? Giants. And Satan, the children were. Nephilim is fallen angels, okay? Satan being, Napha is the prime in the Hebrew, being the leader of the fallen angels, had Cain. Why was his child called a Kenite and treated differently? Well, because the Kenites were the tares or the negative. I don't want to say the negative part of God's plan, but God allowed the negative so that we had a choice. Either follow God or Satan and his children. Okay, it is when you. I think if you were to read the parable of the tares, knowing that the Kenites, which when you say Kenites, you're just saying children of Cain. That's all. That's a Hebrew word, children of Cain, his posterity. But when you read that the 13th chapter of Mark, I'm sorry, the 13th chapter of Matthew. You read of the tares, and the tares are the Kenites. And God says, leave them alone. When they're growing up, they look just like the wheat. In other words, you can't tell the difference until the seed is produced. And then wheat is a rich golden grain. Good. But the zawan, which is the tare, is black and poisonous. Okay. And so it is with the Kenite. As long as they follow their father, which you read of in St. John chapter 8, verse 44, St. John 8:44, is not good. So God allowed it so that, knowing and producing the fact that he gave his only begotten Son, that all you have to do is believe upon him and follow his word, which is the Bible, and gain wisdom, and you don't have anything to worry about, period. Okay. Pat from Missouri, you were talking about food that God wants us to eat, but you didn't say anything about chicken or turkey, and I was wondering if it's okay to eat. I can't find it in the Bible. If you see it, let me know where it is in the Bible, and keep teaching. You are okay in my book. Well, thank you. I'm glad to be in your book. Let's take when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, what did God feed them with? Number one, he fed them with manna, which is angels' food. Okay, the same food that sustains an angelic body will sustain or a flesh body. But what else did he send? He sent quail by the drove, and quails have a gizzard, okay, and they eat locusts and other things, which makes them a clean bird, and so is a chicken. Okay, they're in that family, so they're okay. If we were not to say, and it would be a really sad thing, the way they always claim in the South that when the preacher comes, you kill a chicken. Okay, so, and they love chickens, supposedly. So it is a clean food. Helen from Pennsylvania. Pastor, I have in my possession a Holy Bible, announced the King James and others, the King James, which I study from. I see here, I go on down and I see that you like Dr. George Lampsa's work, and I do too. I have all of his work in my library. Dr. Lampsa was a good scholar, but he was of Ishmael, and the reason I keep his studies is there are certain scriptures that he translated from. As a matter of fact, let's cut to the quick. Let's take his figures of speech and idioms. And he has a book on, Dr. Lansom has a work on idioms. I can't remember the title, the correct title, but I'll just say idioms or figures of speech. And actually, they're a little different than ours. But then you have to realize he's of Ishmael. And they do have different figures of speech than we do. But his Aramaic was fantastic. He was a good Aramaic scholar. So you're okay, but always keep the King James and the Strong's Concordance, the regular. But it doesn't hurt to gain what you can from his knowledge. E from Texas. I have to admit that I once believed in the so-called flyaway theory, and now I know the truth. Thanks God for your studies. I have one question, not to bother you, Pastor, but I've been taught that in the midst of trouble, God holds still and strong to his promise to pull us through, and that if we hear or see trouble in our lives, that's a confirmation that a blessing is close. I was taught that Christ slept through a great storm and his disciples feared only Christ didn't. Does this make sense, what I'm asking? Well, yeah, kind of it does, but Christ was, that's your Christian boat. They weren't long in waking Christ up to quell the storm, though, okay? They called out to him, and that's what you do when you're in trouble, you call on Christ. Your answer to your question is God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Everything you have said there is documented in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And it reads, "There is nothing that shall happen to you that isn't common to everyone, but God will never test you over what you are able to handle, and he will always show you a way out." In other words, God never leaves us, he never forsakes us, and And so it is. Okay, we got, I'm looking for a name here. And don't see a name, so I'm just going to read it. I love the way you read the Bible verse by verse. Pastor Murray, I have a question. I think I know now this is wondering. She doesn't want her name mentioned. I don't want to say my real... Okay, no problem. And if you're living with another lady and she's in sin, I want you to make a note, and you seem to be quite concerned about it. But sin of one person doesn't rub off on another. Okay. I want you to make a note of Jeremiah 31, verse 29. Jeremiah 31, verse 29. If the son bites a sour grape, the father's teeth aren't set on edge, meaning each of us answers for our own sin. And that's fine, because God loves us, and that's fair. You don't have anything to worry about, okay? That's your good reputation with our Father is still in good standing. Okay, Pastor Murray, I have a question. I am really in trouble for names today, but that's I don't see one. I usually don't take a question that doesn't have a name, but somebody has torn part of this off probably to fill an order, so I'll take it anyway. Could you tell me where I could get the materials to take communion with you at home? I watch your program, and it's the only one that I felt to be true. Well, bless your heart. God's word is true, and I thank him for that. I personally like for people to take communion with pure wine, grape wine, okay? But grape juice is fine. If you have a medical problem, no problem. The juice of the grape is fine. But go to, you know, at most grocery stores, you will find unleavened crackers, okay? And if you can't find unleavened crackers, just take a little piece of a cracker, okay? It'll be fine. God will understand. And you'll do just fine, okay, taking communion with us. Man does not have the right to tell someone they can or cannot take communion, because if you believe Christ was worthy to pay the price, then you should take communion. It isn't whether we're worthy or not, but whether he was. He definitely was. Jennifer from Minnesota, first of all, me and my mother love your work and thank you for taking my letter. You're welcome. I have a question or two for you. The first is, where in the Bible does it say that the last babe that passes through the womb will be the start of the end of this earth age? It's in the Apocrypha, in the books of Ezra. Okay, I'll say it again. Ezra is simply the Greek pronunciation of the Hebrew word Ezra, okay? But you have to read it in the Apocrypha. It is written there. And also, the signs of the last day, I'm looking and cannot find them in my Bible. Well, they're throughout the Bible. Mainly, you will find them in the great book of Daniel. You will find them in the book of Revelation. But the easiest place for you, I want you to make a home assignment of Mark chapter 13. This is what happens in the end times to those that recognize the false Christ. And some of you have a destiny, and that is your last day. Mark 13. Mark chapter 13, cover the whole chapter. Les from Texas. A question for Pastor Murray. Would Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 be a good start for putting a 14-year-old on the right track? Any suggestions? No, that's a good place. But on a 14-year-old that is not real founded, first of all, you got to let them know what's in it for them. Okay, this is the slant you want to take. Everybody wants to know, what's in this for me? Well, number one, eternal life. That's a start. But also, there are so many blessings that are in it for you if you follow God's plans. as God would say in the great book of Isaiah, which we covered not long ago, chapter, 43:26, if my memory doesn't fail me. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Most often it doesn't fail me. 43:26, God said, hey, remember my promises and remind me of them. God speaking, and let's talk about it. Meaning, I'll honor what I have promised, but you got to let me know you know what those promises are that you're going to claim. Okay, so let the young person know there is a lot in it for them, and that they can be a blessing to their family when they grow up and have a family, but they can also be a blessing right now to their best friends and their immediate family, okay? And thank you for teaching your son. That's fantastic, okay? Patsy from Mississippi, I thank God for your teaching and also thank you and your family. You are welcome. I understand that when we die, our soul goes back to our Father. The flesh shall return to dust or rot away. But in 1 Samuel 28:13, why did Samuel appear from out of the earth? Well, now wait a minute. Go back and read it again. Was it Samuel or was it a familiar spirit? You're talking, if my memory doesn't fail me, and here I'm using that terminology again, that was the witch of Endor. I know it was. She called him back up. That was a witch thing. So you're not going to put stock in a witch, are you? Okay, against God's word, of course not. It made it appear that's what happened. Evelyn from Illinois, thank you. Old Saul learned a big lesson out of it, and God had a little something to do with it. Okay, Evelyn from Illinois, thank you for blessing us all with the God's word. You're welcome. God's the one that's done it, okay? Thank you for serving our country. It was always a pleasure being a Marine and in combat for this great nation, keeping it free. Does it say in the Bible when the parents are saved, their family will be also? Well, I can think of one case and one incident in Acts chapter 10 when Cornelius, a Gentile, came to Peter's house, or sent two men to Peter's house, and ultimately his whole family, he was saved and his whole family was saved. It is not that they automatically are saved just because the parents believe. But just as you heard me read that question from this, amazing how the Holy Spirit works these things, to me it is, but this father is teaching his 14-year-old child, okay, how to be saved and teach God's word and be in God's word. It's just a family thing, okay? And naturally, you're very fortunate when the whole family studies together in God's word. Unfortunately, Christ knew that wouldn't always be the case, because he said mother will betray daughter and to Satan, which in Mark 13, and the father the son, when they don't believe or are deceived. It simply is a fact that a family that studies together is going to stay together, okay, most often. Mary Lou from Georgia, I have one question, Pastor Murray. I know Satan is the great deceiver, so I was wondering if I could be deceived as easily as I was by a traveling salesman selling vacuum cleaners. You know the pitch, young man going to college, needs money. So at a weak moment, I bought one after the gentleman was gone. I was aggravated at myself for buying one. Please answer this for me. Well, you know, when you want a vacuum cleaner, usually go to a dealer. When you want to buy anything, go to a dealer. And you'll probably be a lot better off, all right, because they will guarantee it. Now, if something goes wrong with this vacuum cleaner you bought from that traveling salesman, he's traveling, okay, way on out there, and it's your baby. So that's kind of the way it is with Satan. If he can sell you a bill of goods, he's gone, you're stuck with it. And so you won't have any trouble. You're not going to worship the Antichrist, okay? It's it's your compassion for young people that he kind of talked you into it. But don't just use good judgment, okay? If you want to buy something, go where you know it's guaranteed and it'll be made good. Diana from Texas, were Christ and the devil brothers in the first heaven age. I understand Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, and I understand begotten is by woman. Well, you know, in the first earth age, all of us were brothers. Why? Because we just have one Father. And brothers in that sense, okay? So, that's no problem. That's no step for a stepper. He went real bad. And, of course, you got to remember who Jesus was. Emmanuel, God with us, okay? I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, though, your Father does. He sent you the letter. He expects you to absorb it, to really try to understand it. And it makes his day when you study chapter by chapter, verse by verse. When you make his day, he's going to make yours. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. But there's one thing more important. You listen to him close. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble, because Jesus